Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf.
And welcome to For the Love of Dog with our special From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a really amazing, very special thing to do here. You may hear some noise behind me. That is actually, we're at a physical therapy facility right now where they're working with dogs who have either injuries or arthritis or other physical issues that can plague our older dogs or our dogs who might not have the best conformation or might have had muscle injuries or injuries like broken legs or TPLOs. So today we're going to discuss a little bit about what you can do for your special dog and the different therapies and treatments that are out there, because most people don't realize that there are a lot of different treatments for dogs. And behind me, we're going to interview in a moment. We are with a very well-known, not only obedience champion, but also top physical therapist. Who started as a human physical therapist and decided that animals are more fun, which we all know. That's why we're here and you're listening right now. So one of the great things about having people around you and this show that can help guide you and let you know what's out there is that in this way, you have different opportunities. Now, on Wyatt's List, WYATTSLIST.com, Wyatt's List, you'll see all the different opportunities for physical therapy, for oncology, for pet loss and bereavement, for all the different pieces of what your dog's life is. So today we're going to have a special segment by Miss Petra Ford, who was not only the Masters Obedience Champion several years, with two different dogs, I believe, and she can corroborate that later. She also won at Crufts and is an AKC national champion. Big things for somebody who has a lot of talents and skills. So we'll be speaking with her in a moment. Now, what happens when you distinguish that your dog suddenly, your dog maybe has a behavioral issue? And now all of a sudden, the behavioral issue is exacerbated or perhaps created by pain. A lot of dogs react out of pain like we do. So imagine for a moment if your dog is in pain and you go to touch the dog or the dog tips its head and now it feels that pain, the dog doesn't realize that you're the one who's helping. He just knows he has pain. And dogs will typically look at whoever or whatever they're looking at, and they'll think that that is the person or animal who actually is causing the pain. So if your dog has, let's say, an injury to his leg and is pulling and sees another dog, that dog, your dog, may think that the other dog is causing the pain. So we're going to talk with Petra in a moment, and she's going to explain a lot of things about different opportunities that you can help your dog. So I'm going to pop off of here right now, and we are going to change the camera angle, and we will be able to have you live seeing Petra. Now, Petra is working with, right now, Wyatt, and we'll try to get a good camera angle. It's a little hard to do. Here she is, and she's working with Wyatt, who is a little weak. You know, started, had some weakness from an injury and some things that happened about a year and a half ago. And what they're doing is they're working on strengthening muscles. So if you look here, there's like a pebble ball, and she uses that and all of these other things, as well as different modalities that can help her to help the animal. So, Petra, I want to introduce you.
Hi.
And I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
And so first thing is, how did you get involved in this and what are your credentials? Because, you know, you can't just say you do this. You obviously have to do a lot.
I'm a human physical therapist. I've been a human physical therapist for more years than I would like to say.
And did people gross you out too, and that's why you started working with animals?
No, but animals are just awesome. So when I found out that this new field was emerging, which is basically doing physical therapy, good boy, on dogs.
And a kiss isn't too bad either.
I went and got my certification.
How many years ago did you start doing this?
And
how many
years? 11 and a half years ago.
With the dogs?
With the dogs.
And how about before that with humans?
15 years with humans before that.
So it took you 15 years to have humans gross you out enough that you went back to animals. So tell us a little bit about the typical, although there is no typical, tell us about the typical case that comes in and what people are looking for and how they found you.
So it's still, even though we've been doing this for 11 and a half years, it's still a relatively new field. So a lot of people don't know about it. Many people find us, the majority by word of mouth, and I would say the other half now find us on Google because people are educating themselves. So when their dog gets injured or hurt, they go online, they research the injury, and they research what they can do. And people are looking more and more for holistic alternatives to treat their animals, even animals that in the past required surgery for various things are now opting to go the conservative route. So that's how they find us.
So tell me about your typical, like, do you have more prevalence of a particular age group or injury or breed that tends to have these issues?
Yeah, no, we have all different breeds, tiny little teeny tiny dogs up to dogs even twice Wyatt size. We have, I would say, a fair amount of orthopedic injuries, typical, similar to ACL tears in humans, dogs with hip injuries. We also see a lot of senior dogs. We are able to help them manage their pain and maintain and regain their mobility. We have puppies that come too. We have a puppy coming now that was born with some deformities. He's had some orthopedic surgeries and he's rehabbing. And we have dogs with neurological injuries. So pretty much spans age groups and breeds and sizes.
Okay, so that's all cool information, but now how can somebody get involved if, let's say, somebody lives in the Midwest? How can you find out if there's somebody who is able and available and skilled? Like, what credentials should people look for?
Right. So the person should be either a veterinarian or a human physical therapist, fully certified to perform canine rehabilitation. There are two organizations, only two, that I'm certified. One is the University of Tennessee, and the other one is Canine Rehab Institute in Florida.
Okay, so if somebody says that, hey, I'm a dog rehabilitation expert, they should be able to tell you one of those two places, and they would have either had to be a doctor, basically veterinarian, physical therapist, and then they would have to go additionally. What's happening here is we're doing exercises and our prop isn't cooperating.
There he goes.
So the reason that I'm so fascinated with this, Petra, is that I've seen dogs literally, and we've seen it with ourselves. Someone's in a car accident or has a broken hip and we get rehabilitated. We have physical therapists who are trained and certified. Now, what was it that made you switch and say, oh, okay, humans are just too gross for me? What was it that maybe changed your mind and you said, oh my gosh, I want to be with animals because people stink? Because we all agree people stink. That's why we're all with animals right now. And you're not watching something on how much we should love our fellow man. I'd rather love my fellow dog. So what made you switch over and go to the light side from the dark side?
I've always just been an animal lover my whole life. I love dogs. I started training my dogs for fun. And I felt like working with dogs just pulled everything together. I love being a physical therapist. This way I get to do it for dogs. I get to work with dogs all the time. And I get to work with humans that are very, very passionate about their animals. And they're really good with doing their homework and follow through. So we see wonderful results, which makes it super, super rewarding. Why it says he needs a break.
So, Petra, are there other things besides strengthening that we can do, like range of motion?
Give
me some of the things
that
typical injuries and a general idea of how we rehabilitate that injury.
So first of all is pain management, and we can do pain management with a variety of techniques, including cold laser, massage, which is not a massage you would get in a spa, but we're working towards releasing tight and painful muscles that have been that the dog has used to compensate for their injury. We use the underwater treadmill, which is a phenomenal modality. It allows them to walk in really warm water that's therapeutic. It takes the weight off their achy joints, and they're able to push against the resistance of the water and gain strength that way. We do strengthening exercises. We have electrical stimulation for dogs with neurological injuries. We use that a lot. We have therapeutic ultrasound, just like in humans, that we use for tendonitis. What else, Nicole?
I think there's Nicole. Say hi, Nicole. And there's some of the, those are called peanuts, those things against the wall, although you wouldn't really be able to put one in your mouth because they're ginormous. But Petra, what can you think of one of your, maybe one of your favorite clients, one of your favorite dogs?
Wyatt, of course.
Oh, Wyatt. Wyatt, you're her favorite. but thank you so much. I appreciate that. And they're going to continue on, and I may bother Petra again in a minute. We'll show you some of the physical therapy. Give me a moment. Okay, so a lot of people don't even know that this is available and that we can actually have people like Petra, who actually is, her company is called Aquapaws, and I'll find you. It's right here. You can see the address and information and her number. You can also reach out to us at Wyatt's List. Petra is going to be a contributor. She's got some things on Wyatt's List, and we'll be able to answer questions for people. We, of course, have Dr. Berg. We have Temple Grandin. We have all the people, the best of the best in the industry in which they are. And what's really important is to know that you do have options out there. So this is the information for Petra. She is in New Jersey. So if you end up being in New Jersey or New York, she's very much worth coming for. And we have some amazing veterinarians in the area as well. So what do you do when your dog has injuries? You bring the dog in to your physical therapist. You find a great person like Petra, who is not only a national obedience champion and has a voice that carries very well, but also remember, sometimes the behaviors can be a problem, not only with a dog who is going to be having behavior issues, but sometimes the dogs will actually also feel pain, and the pain is one of the things that can cause additional issues. So we really do want to make sure that we've got dogs who are sorry, we're in a business right now, so there are a lot of moving around. But we'll go outside in a moment when we're finished with this segment. But what we want to do is encourage people, when your dog has a behavioral issue, don't always assume that it is a behavioral issue. Sometimes it is caused by somebody who, you know, somebody an injury. It can be caused by, sometimes with dogs who have the whiskers or the eyebrows that come over, like a lot of these poodle mixes and like terriers who have the hair around here. They can have behavioral issues. And the reason they can get those behavioral issues is that basically they can't see. So I was working with a couple last night. They were wonderful. I've been slammed with behavioral issues with small to mid-sized dogs lately and a lot of aggression. One of the things was the dog was super reactive to anybody who was coming over and was touching the dog. So they would come over the top like this. The dog would suddenly see them and would snap or bite. So think like a dog. So we always want to first rule out anything physical or medical. So if you do have a medical issue, let's say your dog has an injury or it has an abscess or something, we fix that first. But what can happen is we end up having not just pain, but sometimes it turns into a fear of pain. So if perhaps there's a little bit of pain involved, the dog can perceive that it's actually you causing the pain, or the child who brings a toy or who walks over to try to pet the dog. So it really is important to understand why that happens. And that's why we have United Canine Professionals, our canine behavior group. We are always available. Our number is 855-449-9288, which is 855 for Canine Pros. And we can look at this right there. So United Canine Professionals has almost 200 people. We recently whittled down anyone who wasn't as involved, because the goal for us is to help dogs. We want to be able to help dogs that are going to be, better citizens and be able to do more fun stuff. Because one of the problems is, imagine for a moment that a dog has an injury or it needs rehabilitation and the dog is aggressive. So what do we do in that moment when a dog isn't well behaved and you need a behaviorist? You call 855-4-CANINE-PROS, 855-449-9288. We have several of the 800 numbers. You can use any of them for that. One of the other things that I think is going to be really, really important for everyone is think like a dog. I talk about this all the time. Think like a dog. Imagine what your dog is thinking. Imagine how your dog is thinking. So if you're thinking like a human, and I always joke about it, but listen, men and women, we're almost the same species. We don't always understand each other. So here's a completely another species that thinks completely differently. Dogs are predators. Even a sweet dog, dogs are a predator breed. Things like horses and bunnies and deer are prey animals. So when you're looking at something, you want to think about, is the animal reacting out of dominance, which would be more characteristic for a predator, or is it reacting more out of fear, which would be more for a prey animal? So if you have fight or flight, a predator is going to tend to fight. A prey animal is going to tend to flee, which is flight. So we've all heard and remember back, fight, flight, avoid, or submit. If we have fight, flight, avoid, or submit, that predator is going to fight. The prey animal is going to flee, which is flight, or possibly avoid, and they generally don't submit. A prey animal doesn't submit because it's trying to get away, because it's motivated by fear. It's trying to get away. A predator who realizes, uh-oh, you're stronger than I am, will be more likely to submit than will a prey animal. So it's very interesting how that all works. Now, something else I think is very important for everybody to consider is also, we've talked about it before, what do you do when you have to go away and you're not sure if you should get somebody to come into your house or you should have a boarding facility? What are those million-dollar questions you should be asking? Well, first of all, licensed and bonded is nice, but if the person doesn't show up, like I had one of my clients the other day, she was kind of upset because they have the Ring doorbell with the whole thing there. And she was able to see when the person came in. the woman who came in, the girl who came in her, she was in her mid-20s, came in, and as she's in there, she says, she goes over, she literally is in at like 8:02 and out at 8:04. So the girl texts the mom that, oh, the dog went out and peed and did everything. I spent a while there. But we know it was only 2 minutes. Now, how do we handle that? The girl did show up, but she obviously wasn't doing what she was being paid to do. So what we want to be able to do is try to work on getting trust. Get, it's not the worst thing in the world to tell people, hey, I do have, you know, cameras in the house. I watch the dog. So just for you to know that there are cameras in the house. That's kind of a self-correcting kind of a thing, because what it's doing is it's telling you that hey, if you're not showing up or if you're not doing what you say you're going to do, I'm going to know that you're not here. And I think that's really, really important, honestly, because otherwise what winds up happening is you don't have trust, right? We want to have trust. We want people to be able to come in. We want to be able to trust that they're going to show up for our dog and that they're going to be feeding our dog and caring appropriately for our dog. The problem is that it is sometimes, and it's very hard to even get somebody there, but that's a little trick. And these days, listen, I have cameras all over my property. I have cameras facing out at each of my vehicles. I have cameras at each of our Merlin's Kids facilities around the country, because even though you can trust somebody, cameras don't lie, right? So it's nice to be able to see at any given time. And it's also actually a wonderful thing, even for you, to have a camera on so you can see, you can watch your animals interacting. I had a wonderful patient who was just a lovely, lovely lady. She and her husband had two dogs who got along famously. One day she came home, and one of the dogs was just ripped up. There was blood all over. The other dog had some injuries and they were so upset. I came in, they called me, you know, the next day. They said, we had a dog fight. We don't know where it happened. And I said, okay, you know, I'll come in. I was in there within a few days. The other dog was home from the hospital by that point. Dogs got along famously, but something happened that day. And it would have been great. I can figure it out probably, but what happened is we don't know. So it's great to have that on video. Also, if God forbid a dog knocks something over, there's a fire in the house, you can see what's going on with your dog. What ended up happening, we think, is that there was some meat defrosting that neither of the dogs was a counter surfer, but there was, she had left like a big steak or whatever for dinner, defrosting in water in the kitchen sink, and all the blood was around that area. So as we figure probably one of the dogs might have gotten too close to it, and the other one, for whatever reason, just decided to go after him. And you know, again, anything can happen at any point, but we want to make sure that we know so we can take good care of the dogs. We want to make sure that we know what's going on with them. We want to also, obviously, be aware of what, you know, injuries that a dog might have. I just like having it. I even have on my cars and my home, I have a temperature sensor. So not only can I see if somebody comes into my house, I can tell if it gets too hot or cold in the car. You can actually buy these online. Maybe we'll do a whole story about them 1 week, but they are really great because it does permit you a little bit more freedom that you're then able to, you know, use your vehicle, go where you want to go. Because obviously we're getting into this weather now where it's in the 70s, soon it's going to be in the 80s. We don't, even in this weather today, even if there's no sun out, the temperature inside the car can rise very quickly. So we want to be careful. So you can get, I have two of these temperature sensors because I don't trust just the one, but you can have one of these temperature sensors. That's wonderful. And what it'll do is it'll kind of provide you with the opportunity to see at any given time what the temperature is. You can have a fan. I have one of my four vehicles is a hybrid. I love it because I don't have to worry about the temperature up or down because I can actually leave the vehicle on and it will turn itself on and off to keep the temperature inside the car. Again, I have two temperature monitors to make sure, and I'm watching the dog with a camera as well. Never had a problem, but that is something that for those of you who have to travel with your dog and you want to run into a rest stop or something, mine are service dogs. When I take them, they go with me. If I have one that's not a service dog, though, it has to stay there. I leave the car on, temperature sensors, and I'm very careful. But just remember, this is that time of year that we start having problems. Now, we started the top of the hour talking about physical therapy, talking about behavioral issues that can surface when you have dogs with some kind of an issue. So what kind of typical behaviors do we have, you know, and do I handle on a daily basis? A lot of aggression, a lot of separation anxiety, a lot of phobias and fears, and a lot of random issues that people can't figure out. So you can do obedience, like Petra's won all these amazing obedience championships. I mean, national championships. It's incredible. But when she has a dog who has a behavioral issue, I help because she doesn't handle aggression. And I appreciate that and I respect her so much for that because too many local obedience trainers and local quote-unquote trainers call themselves behaviorists. You're not a behaviorist because you make a dog sit or lie down. You're a behaviorist because you get inside the dog's brain. Okay, so if your dog has a behavioral issue, like it's aggressive, it's growling, it's fearful, it's anxious, separation anxiety, doesn't like men, doesn't like children, doesn't like bicycles. That is not an obedience issue. That is a behavioral issue. So if Petra and some of my other friends who are totally incredible, if these people are all not going to accept the fact that, you know, they're going to be getting bitten, because most people, normal people, don't want to get bitten. I don't mind. I don't care if I get bitten. It's my trade. That's what we do. We sometimes get bitten. But the key is I'm not walking in afraid. I walk in, I have short sleeve shirts on today. You see, I have short sleeves, sleeveless. I walk into a dog just like this. Whatever I'm wearing, I'm wearing. I've had people say to me, oh, the last trainer who came in wore a bite suit. And I'm like, well, the last trainer who came in either wasn't a behaviorist, certainly, or shouldn't have been there, because if he's that worried about getting bitten, he shouldn't be working with live dogs. Maybe he can work like in a zoo where the animals are behind gates and cages. But if you're working with dogs with behavioral issues, you're going to get bitten. I've been doing this 35 years. Let me tell you, I've been bitten thousands of times, and it's okay. I still go in because I don't assume when I walk into a house that I'm going to be getting bitten. If I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. But if you don't want to get bitten, please don't go in to a potential patient or client and tell them, oh my gosh, this is the worst dog I've ever seen. And oh my gosh, you should put this dog to sleep or rehome it, because it just means you can't fix it. Doesn't mean I can't fix it or that my team can't fix it. Doesn't mean that the dog might not need a medication, although I'm not a big proponent of that, except in rare cases where it is absolutely needed. And something else. So United Canine Professionals, right? 1-855-4-CANINE-PROS or Merlin's Kids and Wyatt's List. Wyatt's List has an entire new segment on webinars, which is amazing. We're going to be starting our new webinar on babies and toddlers. So this is another side issue. When you have a dog and you're going to have a baby, or if you want to get a dog and you have a baby, you need to take steps. Don't just hope it works, because I've seen plenty of, unfortunately, babies getting bitten, parents tripping over a dog as it was lunging at the baby, the baby walking and falling, and the dog growls and snaps. Why would you do that? So on Wyatt's List, we're going to start. You can actually go on to wyattslist.com, W-Y-A-T-T-S-L-I-S-T, wyattslist.com. And you can sign up for the webinars. They'll be up in a couple of weeks. So what a great gift for someone who just had a baby, instead of getting them the same blanket that they've gotten three times before. Or how many baby clothes can you have? Get somebody the gift of keeping their dog and their baby safe when you get these seminars on the webinars on Wyatt's List. And they'll be available. There'll be different times for them. You'll be able to interact with me and my team. And you'll learn so much. Great gift for a new grandbaby, or a great gift for a sister or a friend who might be having a baby and has a dog. And it doesn't have to be a bad dog, because even a dog who's kind of a bad dog, quote unquote, at least they know there's an issue. But even the good dogs, even though your dog has been the best dog in the world for the last 8 years, a baby is different. And many, many dogs end up having issues with babies, which is why I get so busy and why we were basically begged by a lot of new mothers and young families to please put out the webinar series. So we're really excited about that. We will return.